It's a blessing to be here with you. A number of you have gotten to know over the years, and I guess even back, went to church with Marcus and Ben and in the same youth group, and of course then got to know Sam's and Steve. I guess that would have been about in 96. And then over the years, I guess we were Faith Mission with Daniel and Lydia, and Jake's were there some as well. So it's a blessing to see each of you here this evening. And I guess what's an encouragement to me is those who are faithfully serving the Lord where God has called you. And that's an encouragement to me. And I don't know what you're expecting this evening. I had asked Steve, I guess it was in January when he called, if there was a certain subject, which he said there wasn't. Of course, that got canceled in February because of the snow. But I didn't know if you were expecting a Mother's Day message or not, but I'm not planning to give you a Mother's Day message. However, there are things, it's for all of us this evening. And I'd just like to bless you mothers as well. God has called you to a high calling. And if you're a stay-at-home mom, God bless you for that. That is a good place. And so many ladies today, you know, have to have a career. Well, God has called you to something higher, to care for your family and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. For a title this evening, I've titled the message, Be Thou an Example of the Believers. And I'd just like to be an encouragement to each of you this evening to be an example of the believers. And I'm not implying that you're not. It's just something that I would like to encourage each of you this evening and myself as well. So a number of questions we could ask ourselves is, what kind of example am I? Am I an example of the believers? Am I a good example or a bad example? Of course, then we could also wonder, what kind of example am I following, or who am I trying to exemplify? You know, we do follow the examples of other people, and other people follow our examples as well. You know, and there's times maybe we're not the best example to follow. Think about a little child who tries to do the things his father does. A little son tries to do what his dad does, or a little daughter tries to mimic mom, and so on. So when you see those things, you know, it's important for us to be a good example. Of course, sometimes we wonder, well, who's going to follow my example? But I think we don't realize how important it is, the kind of life we live and what, for example, we're leaving. Just a little bit, you know, what do we mean by example? We mean to model. It's a person, action, or thing taken as a model to be copied or avoided by others. Tonight, we want to be an example that hopefully can be modeled and copied. Now, as you think about who you are this evening and, well, I guess why you are who you are and what has affected you in becoming that person that you are today, and there's a lot of things as you think about that. Now, we realize that, you know, we've been influenced by a lot of people in our lives over the years. A lot of people have affected who we are today. And of course, if we're serving the Lord, that has affected us as well in a better way, hopefully. Now, some of these influences, examples, or whatever that we've been affected by have been good. Others have not been so good. And as we think about who has influenced our lives, we think of maybe our parents. They were the ones who brought us into the world and taught us from little up. And I'm sure there's a lot of influences that we have picked up from them. Of course, we also have our siblings that we probably were influenced by, and this interaction and so on. And even as I think about it now with our children, how the younger ones will maybe say things the older ones do, and yeah, the influence that they have. Of course, if you're married tonight, you're probably influenced and affected by your spouse. It's hard to live with somebody for 20 years or more and not be affected or influenced by each other. Of course, we're also influenced by our friends, our peers, those around us, and even our schools, teachers, our schools, our churches. And you know, we're even influenced by our community, our surroundings. Maybe that's really neither here nor there, but sometimes you can pick up on somebody who, maybe the way they talk, say, well, they're from this area. You can kind of tell by that accent. You think of when, at the crucifixion, Peter's speech, they could tell where he was from. So those are different things that we are influenced by. And so we're not only influenced by others, we all are also influencing others as well. And hopefully tonight, we are being influenced by Christ, or we're following the examples of Christ, and we're seeking to exemplify Him, becoming more like Him. So I'd like to just encourage each of you this evening, as we think about things that we do, the kind of example that we leave and are, does affect those around us, and it might have an effect for a long time. Could we say with Paul, as he did in 1 Corinthians, in 4:16, he said, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." And he also said in chapter 11, verse 1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." As you think about that, could we say that to other people and feel comfortable doing that? Or does it seem a little scary to say that to someone, you know, follow me as I follow Christ? Just something for us to think about. Turn to 1 Timothy 4. And in verse 12, I'd like to read verse 12. "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Tonight, as we're thinking about being examples of the believers, we would say that we are believers. We'd say that we're followers of Christ. We're Christians. So I would say this verse is for each of us tonight who have made that decision to follow Christ. We are to be an example of the believers. Think about this quote. "Our example is the only Bible which millions of people read today." As you think about that, there's a lot of people out there who probably don't read the Bible. And I look at us and say, yes, they're Christians. So that is the only Bible that they're reading. Our lives, the way we live. Now here we have Paul. He was in prison nearing the end of his life. And he's writing these letters to Timothy, who was a young minister. And he was giving him instructions, a variety of different things. And he was also encouraging him to faithfulness. And that's what he's writing here. But I think this is the Word of God, and it's for us as well today. I'd just like to look at a number of things here in this passage. And as I said, Timothy being a young minister, and maybe because of his age, people watched him more maybe because he was young. I'm not sure. But Paul is just telling him, let no man despise thy youth. And he's also encouraging him, don't do things that cause people to question, you know, because of your age and so on. I'd like to say to you young people tonight, there's a tremendous witness that you can be to the world around us if you're committed to following Christ. If you're committed to to being a follower of Jesus. I think it's a real witness, a real testimony to those around us. I think the world kind of expects young people to kind of live it up and enjoy pleasures of sin for a season, so to speak. So when there's young people who are different, who are following the Lord, following His call, I think they notice that. They see that. That here's someone that's different. It's not the norm. So I'd like to encourage you in that. Be that kind of a person that is a real witness and testimony to those around us. This verse says that we're to be an example to believers. And if you're a believer tonight, you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. So what, for example, did Jesus leave us? What kind of life did He live if we're His disciples? How should we be following His example? John 13:15. And this is in the feet washing scriptures. But He said, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." And I realize this is talking about feet washing. And we do literally follow that as well. But I think there's something more to the scripture as well. As we see Jesus' willingness, He was the master here. And He was willing to stoop down and wash His disciples' feet. He was willing to be a servant. And as I think of that, I think of that as an example for us. That we should be willing to serve others. And as you look at Jesus' life throughout the Gospels, His servant, just how willing He was to serve. Turn to Philippians 2. Some verses here talking about the mind, talking about Christ Jesus and what He was like. In verse 5, I'll read verse 5 down to 11. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Here it just brings out in these verses that He humbled himself, took upon him the form of a servant. You know, if we're followers of his, we're his disciples, that's what we need to do as well. We need to be servants. We need to humble ourselves. We need to have the mind of Christ, as it says here, "Let this mind be in you." The Bible talks about, in Ephesians, about having a renewed mind, renewed in the spirit of your mind. First Peter 2:21-25, and I'd like to read that as well. It's just, again, examples of Jesus, examples that He left for us. First Peter 2:21-25. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Leaving us an example that we should follow. You know, that's what we want to do tonight. We want to follow that example of Christ. We want to be an example of the believers. Now let's go back to Timothy there and look at that verse again. And I'd like to look at the different things that he said that we should be examples in. The first one is in word. We are to be examples in word, in our speech, the things that we say. Have you ever thought about how important it is, the things that we say? And just some questions I had to think of. You know, what's my speech like? Especially maybe this past winter, I was talking to my neighbor or someone else about the cold weather, the snow, and so on. And he's kind of complaining about it. What is my speech like then? Or maybe talking to someone in the summertime when it's hot and dry. What's my speech like then? Is it an example of the believers? Or maybe someone's talking about the president, running him down, or how bad shape the country is, and so on. Do I kind of agree with them, or is my speech an example of the believers? Or maybe I'm talking to a brother in the church, and he's talking about someone else, and maybe gossiping about someone, and so on. What's my speech like then? You know, these are things that we face. Now that kind of puts us to the test. What kind of speech do we have then? Are we an example of the believers in word? Jesus in Matthew 12:34, think to the scribes and Pharisees, he said, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. You know, what's in our heart, that's what we speak. Also in Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. You know, what's in our heart eventually will come out. When I was single, I worked at Hillcrest, and there was one resident there, we called him Brother Mac. And they said he was a preacher for like 40 years. Well, Brother Mac wasn't always with it. And at times, depends what happened, he could curse and swear horribly. And I don't know how responsible he was or whatever, but I often wondered, you know, what kind of life had he lived earlier? And I'm not sure of that. But I just had to think of that in our speech. It's important what kind of speech we have. So what should our speech be like? Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you know how you ought to answer every man. As you think about that, it says seasoned with salt. If you have some food that has no salt, it's kind of blah. It's not really good. Maybe have some food with too much salt, same way. It's not good. But supposed to have it seasoned with salt and always with grace. Also in Titus 2:8, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Is that the kind of speech you have this evening? Is that the kind of speech that I have? Am I an example of the believers in word? And that's just something for us to think about. How is our speech? How are our words? And may our prayer be as the psalmist in Psalm 19:14, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Again, notice that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Again, brings out the fact the heart affects what comes out in my mouth. So may our speech tonight be an example of the believers in word. The next thing we're to be an example in is in conversation. And that word conversation, the way we use conversation today is if I'm talking to you or someone's talking to each other, it's conversation. Well, here, the scriptures, if the word conversation in the scriptures simply means behavior. Are you behaving tonight as a Christian should? Are you being an example of the believers in your behavior? Again, what would your neighbor have to say about you? Would he say that you are a Christian by how you live? As he observes your life, and because of your behavior, he would say, yes, he's a Christian. He's following the Lord. I can tell it by the way he lives. You see, the world has their idea of how a Christian should live. And I think sometimes, and they have certain expectations for us as Christians, and they hold us to a higher standard than they themselves even would uphold. They expect things from us. And I think sometimes we disappoint them maybe in some of the things we do and so on. Again, what about the people we do business with? Would they say that he or she is a Christian by the way she's doing business, he or she's doing business, or by their behavior, their conduct? It doesn't just mean in this verse that our behavior at church, we should be example of the believers at church. It means all the time. Every day of the week. A number of verses which talk about this as well in Ephesians 4, and I'd like to turn to that. Ephesians 4:22-24. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. You see, there was a former behavior, a former way we lived, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we need to put off that former conversation, that former behavior. We need to be changed. We need to be different. We can't just act right. You know, sometimes maybe we'll tell our children we go somewhere, or maybe someone comes to our house and we tell them, "Now you behave tonight." You know, and they might act well that night. But other times, maybe they don't behave. But even for us, do we just act right around certain people? Do we know how to act like a Christian should? Or are we really changed? Is our behavior really coming from the new man, as it talks about in these verses? So we need to put off that old man and put on the new man. Just a number of verses I'd like to read here that talk about conversation. James 3:13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Let him show out of a good behavior how he lives. 1 Peter 1:15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Again, not just at certain times, at all manner. and also 1 Peter 1:18-19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Talked about that vain conversation, a vain behavior. But we've been redeemed from those things. And we can be thankful for that. 1 Peter 3:1-2. And here's some verses for you moms and wives. It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. And again, that word here, conversation, would mean behavior. So for you wives, it's not so much what you say. If you would have an unbelieving husband, as it says here, it's by the conduct, your behavior. That's what can bring them to Christ. Not so much what we say, although that is important as well. But how we live can speak volumes to those around us, can convict them. And it says your chaste conversation in verse 2. And I just like to think of that word chaste would mean pure. Pure behavior, pure conduct. That can be a real witness to the unbelieving husband or to your husbands, whether if they're believing as well. 1 Peter 3:16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Those that are falsely accusing you might be ashamed because of how you're living, because of your good behavior, good conversation in Christ. You know, it's not about us, it's about Christ living in us, and the good behavior, the good conversation can be because of Him. And also 2 Peter 3:11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? That's the kind of life we should live, a holy life, holy and godly. The next word is charity. Be an example of the believers in charity. And that word charity would mean love. You know, and how are we to do this? How are we to be an example of the believers in charity? What did Jesus tell his disciples in John 13:35? He said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have what? Love one for another. And as you think about that, it's just, if you have love for one another, people are going to be able to tell that you're my disciples. And that's a challenge. It's really a challenge that people around us can see, if we as a church have love for each other, they can know that we're disciples of Jesus. Now I'd like to turn to 1 John 4 and read a number of verses there. And in this passage talks a lot about God being love and so on, and how we are to respond to Him. 1 John 4, starting in verse 7 and reading to the end of the chapter. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Similar to what Jesus said in John 13. You know, if we love God, we're going to love our brother. You know, we say we love God, but what about our brother? We wouldn't say that we hate our brother, as it says here. That's pretty strong. You know, we just can't quite stand them. You know, we don't quite see eye to eye. You know, we can't quite get along. Is that really love? You know, talks about God being love here. And if we love God, we will love our brother. You know, as I think about, you know, in our churches, how there's so much strife at times. Do we really love God the way we should? So that our love, so we can have love for our brethren as well. You know, that's a challenge for each of us this evening. How is my love for God? How is your love for God? Jesus also in the Sermon on the Mount said, you're supposed to love your enemies. I think that can be an example to believers. Love your enemies. He also said there, you know, if you love them that love you, what do you more than others? You know, that's, other people do that. If you love your enemies, that is something different. That's different. People will notice that. So be an example to believers in charity. The next one is be an example of the believers in spirit. Now, how can we be an example of the believers in spirit? Does the spirit that I have in my life, does it line up with what the scriptures say? And again, back in 1 John 4, in the first part of that chapter, and I'd like to read 1 through 3, it says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit then confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So what kind of spirit do we have? And there's a lot of spirits out there. You know, there's a lot of people call themselves Christians, but yet does their spirit, the spirit that's in them, the spirit that kind of can sense, does it really match up with the scriptures? And I just thought of some things that, like the Christian rock music, is that really of the Spirit of God? Or contemporary music, is that of the Spirit of God? When you really hear that type of music, does it seem like it's the Spirit of God? Our high school choir was just in Baltimore last weekend, and they sang at a rescue mission for drug addicts one evening, and here they had actually booked two groups this place, and there was actually a, contemporary rock band there, whatever, sang before the high school choir did. And they said it was just, the beat was just, pounding, the rock beat. And they actually put the words up on the wall so that you knew what they were saying. You couldn't even tell what they were saying. They said they sang Amazing Grace, and it was so messed up. It just didn't seem like the right spirit. So what kind of spirit do we have? Is it a spirit, an example of the believers here? It talks here about trying the spirits and saying that every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So let's be an example of the believers in spirit. And the next thing, we're supposed to be an example in faith. Be an example of the believers in faith. And then we sing the song, Faith of Our Fathers. But what about our own faith? What kind of example is our own faith? Of course, we talk about our Anabaptists. We talk about us being Anabaptists and talk about our Anabaptist forefathers, how they were willing to suffer, how they were willing to die for their faith. But what about our faith? Do we have the kind of faith that we're willing to suffer and die for? You know, it has to be personal with us. We have to have that personal faith. We can't be dependent on the faith of our parents, our grandparents, and so on. It has to be personal with us. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It is impossible to please him without faith. So we need to have that faith to be an example of the believers. And the next thing is, be an example of the believers in purity. You know, that thing of purity, it's something that we need to have high standards. And for us as men, I'd just like to say to you men, as we think about the time of the year we're entering, the summertime when it's warm, and you go to town or wherever and you see the undress, we need to be on guard. We need to guard ourselves against those things. Remember to have pure thoughts. You know, with the technology that we have today, so easy for a person to become involved in pornography. It's easy access to those things. And man, we need to guard ourselves against those things. We need to raise high standards against that. Sisters, you know, we come down on men hard for pornography, and we should. But sometimes I'd like to say to you, dress modestly as well. Don't dress in a way that causes men to be impure. And I know you say, well, that's their problem, but you can help men as well. Another thing I'd like to say to you sisters is, what about the books that you read? And I have something here I'd like to read. What pornography is to men, romance books are to women. It is not a secret. Pornography inflicts many men. Some do it openly, most do it secretly as a hidden habit. It's also not a secret that it twists, distorts, and destroys men's relationships with their wives and children. As with all sin, it cuts them off from God. Pornography faces men today as never before. It is found on shouting billboards where all men travel. It is in mail order catalogs that arrive innocently in our mailboxes. What would have been unthinkable pornography in the previous generation is acceptable, yes, even to most Christians, as a way to sell clothing today. Pornography is found in its vilest form in books and magazines that are so damnable that even the ungodly provides warning signs. Warning, adult reading, and special harmless-looking covers that hide the filth from the unsuspecting. Men are led to the slaughterhouse of pornography by their eyes. The world and the devil know that. They make the utmost of that knowledge. In the same way that unregenerate men, sadly many Christian men as well, are led by their eyes to the butcher block of lust and pornography, so a woman is led to the same by the emotions her emotions, not her eyes, follow the plot and details of a romantic story. The plot is the overall intent and is often, though not always, displayed on the covers. The details are the graphic ingredients that lead the emotions, again, not the eyes of a woman, to join that of the main character. The results are the same. The man, with the use of his eyes, follows a scene which includes him. He joins with his heart the thing he sees. The woman joins with her heart that which she experiences with the emotions, thus making it her own, whether real and good as in her intimate relationship with her husband, or the artificial and ungodly as depicted in a romantic scene in a book. Different roads. The man with his eyes, the woman with her emotions, but ending at the same destination. What pornography is and does to men, romance books are and do to women. And as you think about that, it's living in a fantasy world, something that's not real. And so I'd like to challenge each of us tonight. Let's keep ourselves pure. Let's guard against those things. Because the devil is out there to get us one way or another. Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And also in Psalm 24:3-4. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hearts, clean hands, and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor to sworn deceitfully. So I'd like to challenge each of you tonight. Let's keep our hearts pure. Let's be an example of the believer's impurity. You know, as we think about the examples that we are, and probably don't realize how far-reaching the effects it might have or could possibly have. If you want to sometime read through 1 and 2 Kings and read how the different kings lived and then their sons and so on, and the influence that they had. And I was just challenged with, as you think about with David, when he was ready to pass off the scene and he's talking to Solomon, he told Solomon to keep God's commandments and statutes and so on, and that there would be a blessing for him. And then if you read later, Solomon married these strange women and so on, and then there was idolatry brought in. And then later there was Jeroboam's idolatry. And if you read through the Kings at just different times, it talks about Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. Just a lot of different times. And that influenced, it had a stronghold on the children of Israel for many years. In 2 Kings 22 then, or 23, then we have King Josiah coming on the scene. And he gets rid of that idolatry that was there. That idolatry that had affected the children of Israel for 300 plus years. Many years. And he gets rid of it. And it mentions, specifically mentions that in chapter 23, how he pulled down the groves and so on that maybe Solomon had built, or it talks about Jeroboam there as well. But that influence for many years, the effect that it had on the children of Israel, you know, I'm just challenged with that. Then on the other side, we think of the Rechabites in Jeremiah 35. You read that story, how the Lord had told Jeremiah to bring some of them into God's house and to put wine before them, tell them to drink. Now you think about that. Here's the prophet of the Lord bringing them into the Lord's house and setting wine before them. What did they say? They said they couldn't do it because of Jonadab, their father, who had told them that they shouldn't drink wine, strong drink, or build houses, etc. Here we have these Rechabites, 300, possibly 300 years later, still being affected by that example of Jonadab. And that's a blessing. So I'd like to challenge each of you tonight. Let's think about the example that we are. Are we an example of the believers? Let's stand for prayer.